Have you ever had one of those moments in your faith that has just made you go, what? You know, those times where God shows up in a way that just challenges everything you thought you knew. A couple of years ago, the church that I was part of had a partner church over in Fiji. And we used to regularly send teams over there to encourage them. And one time I had the privilege of helping to lead a team of young youth guys over there to, you know, just build some relationships with the pastor's son over there. And it was great. We got to join in with their Easter service. We got to help run some youth group activities. And we got to join Pastor David as he did pastoral visits. But these weren't the kind of pastoral visits that you encounter here in Alice Springs or there in Devonport. These were pastoral visits that had a really large component of spiritual warfare. And from somebody who came from quite a Western-style church growing up, that was a really confronting and challenging experience for me, let alone the five young guys that we took with us on that trip. Each night we kind of sat down and debriefed and kind of went, so, let's talk about what happened today. And we'd unpack it. But there's an element when you go on a trip like that that you know, all of that situation happens over there. And then you go home and you go back to normal life and everything seems fine, right? You know, that was all part of a different culture. It was all part of something different. Well, we flew home and the next Sunday night there was a worship night for us to be able to share at church about what we'd seen and what we'd encountered and how the trip had been, to be able to encourage people about how Pastor David and the church were. And there, about 5 minutes into the worship night, there was another situation of spiritual warfare. Incredibly similar to what we had just seen over in Fiji, but this was in my home church. This was there in my home place where I went, what am I meant to do with this? Now, you may not have had an experience quite like that, but I'm sure when you think through your life, there are these stories and these situations where God has shown up in a way that just challenges your ideas, that challenges the way that you look at things and makes you go, what am I meant to do with this? What does this mean? Hopefully you can kind of relate to that question a little bit. This year in our PM services, we've been exploring this series of mountains of meeting. The idea that in Scripture, there is this place of the mountain where God meets with people. And there are stories and situations all throughout Scripture of people having these incredible mountaintop experiences with God. Si looked at Mount Moriah and the faith-changing experience that Abraham had there. Philip looked at Mount Sinai and just the regularity of Moses' trips up and down Mount Sinai as he went away from the crowds, as he went away from the people to spend time with God, to create that space to be with him. And last week, Gavin unpacked the story of Elijah and Mount Carmel. Both the powerful experience of the showdown that happened up there, but also the quieter, humbler episode that happened after that, as God was doing something to shape Elijah and to form him. And tonight, we're going to look at Mount Tabor. And as Gav's already said, we're looking at the transfiguration of Jesus. And I'm going to actually use Mark's account as well so that I can kind of shoehorn it into our Gospel of Mark series for the AM services, because we'd be coming up to this passage very soon anyway. So it's a little bit of a hybrid message. But we're going to start our passage today with Mark chapter 9, verses 2 to 4. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There, He was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. I mean, talk about encountering God in a mountaintop experience. You're hanging out with your rabbi and he invites you up to the mountain, and there you have this powerful, incredible experience. And I love some of the details there. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. Mark is wanting us to understand here that this is not just something natural. This is not that Jesus had a really good laundromat nearby. This is something supernatural going on here. This is something powerful because Jesus is revealing who he is to his disciples. He's revealing that he is God. And then you've got there with him Elijah and Moses, who are talking to Jesus. Elijah, as we unpacked last week, is somebody who trusted wholeheartedly in the promises of God. He knew God's promises so well that he could speak of them. And then the word of the Lord came to him. And Elijah is also tied to the messianic prophecies. He is to come before the Messiah was to come. And so there's this tying of who Jesus is as the Messiah with Elijah there. And you've got Moses, the one who gave the law to the Israelites, the one who led them out of slavery in Egypt and led them to the promised land, speaking with Jesus, the one who would rescue us from slavery to sin and death, to reunite us with God. And while Mark doesn't say what they were talking about in Luke's account, it says that they were talking about Jesus' death that is to come. But there's something beautiful in the first verse here that I want to focus on. In verse 2, it says, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. I love this because Jesus is the one who initiates this. Jesus is the one who says to Peter, James, and John, hey guys, I want you to come with me. And the beautiful truth that we see there is that Jesus invites us into spaces where he reveals himself to us. This is a beautiful statement about Jesus' character. Because sometimes people say, Jesus is hard to find. You know, I try and find Jesus. I try and make space for Jesus, and nothing happens. And yet that's not who Jesus is. He's not playing a game of hide and seek with us where he's trying hard not to be found. Jesus is the one who went up to his disciples and said, I want you to come away with me. He invited them up the mountain, and he invites us into spaces where he can reveal himself to us. Jesus wants to be known. Jesus wants us to engage in these places. But the other thing is, often we think about these mountaintop experiences as solo activities. Moses went up the mountain alone. The mountaintop experience that Elijah had was, we focus all on Elijah. And yet, here on the mountain, Jesus invited a community, Peter, James, and John. Three of them, three friends, to go and spend time with him up on the mountain. I think there's this beautiful note there that we should find Jesus in community. We should find Jesus when we meet with other people. We should have Jesus reveal himself, not just when we are alone with God, but also when we are with other people. There's something powerful about that. But Jesus invites those three up there because three allows him or allows them to give testimony about this one day. Because in Jewish law, there are three people there who can give eyewitness testimony. That proves that this is honest and truthful. There's something really fascinating about the way that, or the timing of when Jesus invites these guys up the mountain with him. Because Matthew, Mark, and Luke all have the same progression for this event. First off, Peter declares that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter is the one who goes, "You are the Messiah. You are the anointed one. You are the one who was promised from God who is going to save us." He's been looking at what Jesus is doing. He's been looking at what Jesus has done. And he goes, "You know what? This is the one we've been waiting for." And once Peter declares that he's the Messiah, there's a change to Jesus' ministry. Now he begins talking to his disciples and saying, "I am going to have to die." Peter's worked out who he is, the disciples know, and so now Jesus is inviting them to know him a little bit more. He's letting them know, "I'm going to have to die." This isn't what they expected, and they're very confused by this. And then, about a week later, Jesus invites them up the mountain as he reveals himself and reveals who he is to them. And there's this beautiful little progression that happens as Jesus keeps inviting them. "All right, so you know that bit about me. Now come know me a little bit more. Now come know me a little bit more. Now come know me a little bit more." And he keeps inviting them on a journey with him. And I wonder, maybe you've been following Jesus for a little while. Maybe you kind of go, "Yeah, I know all about Jesus." But maybe Jesus is whispering to you today, "Do you want to know me a little bit more? Let's take another step. Let's go a little bit deeper. Let me show you something different about who I am, something more, something deeper." Let's continue with verses 4 to 8. "And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, 'Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.' He didn't know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them. And a voice came from the cloud, 'This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him.' Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus." Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I read some of these passages, I kind of just read it and it just kind of all happens. But I want to just take a moment to just pause and think about this situation for a moment. You've worked out that your rabbi, the guy that you've been following, is the Messiah, the promised one, the one who God was sending to save the people of Israel. Or as we know now, everyone. And he invites you up the mountain. And you know in history that the mountain is that place where people have these experiences with God, that they are powerful places between heaven and earth, moving away from the distractions of the world. And you've been invited up as just a small group of disciples. You're excited. You are expecting something to happen right now. You are really excited to see what is going to happen, what is going to be revealed. And a flash of white light. And the best nappy sand ad you would ever see for the whitest of clothes. And then there are two figures who are massive in your religion, massive in your beliefs, Moses and Elijah. And you're looking at them and you're going, I don't spot celestial name tags, but I know that they are who they say they are. I know that they are those people. There is just this knowing that comes with it, which is overwhelming. And you're trying to work out what this means. You're trying to work out what's going on. You know that they are saying things, but it's not entirely making sense, because this is one of those moments where there is so much happening that your brain is starting to shut down. And so you say the first thing that comes into your mouth, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And I love the note that Mark puts there. He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. I don't know about you, but I find that the most relatable part of this story. That idea of just not quite being sure what to say. And so all of this is happening. You are overwhelmed and beyond your capacity to comprehend and frightened. And then there is a voice from the cloud, a voice from heaven that says, this is my son whom I love. Listen to him. Reminiscent of the cloud on Mount Sinai, from which the people of Israel heard the voice of God. Reminiscent of Jesus' baptism. There is something powerful going on, and then all of a sudden, it stops. And it's just Jesus, Peter, James, and John. How would you be feeling in that moment? Feeling overwhelmed? Feeling worried, feeling scared, feeling like your heart is going to beat out of your chest, or maybe you feel like your heart has stopped. I mean, Gavin can attest to this, but I'm not somebody who deals well with being frightened. I am very likely to jump, squeal, and collapse on the ground. And so I'm pretty sure that Mark would have put that in if I was there. But how would you be dealing with this situation, this overwhelming, powerful situation? Because I love how the disciples responded. They responded like somebody who was fearful. They responded like somebody who was overwhelmed. They responded like somebody who didn't know what they were saying. Because the truth is, sometimes as we experience more of Jesus, we are going to be overwhelmed and we are going to be confused and we are going to be scared, and that's okay. You know, I reflect back on my journey growing up in churches, and I remember people sharing and telling me that as you get to know Jesus more, your love for him is going to grow more. And I agree with that. Absolutely. I've seen that in my own life. I remember people telling me that as you trust Jesus in the small things, you will be able to trust him in the bigger things. Your trust in him will grow. Absolutely. I can attest to that. But I don't remember anyone ever teaching me that there are going to be moments when God does something in my life or around me where I'm going to get scared or worried or confused or go, what does this mean, or what is going on here? And yet I can attest to the truth of that as well. See, here on this mountaintop, Jesus revealed who he was, that he is God to those disciples. He invited them to know him more, to know him more deeply. They already knew a little bit, but they needed to know more. And he blessed them by showing them who he was. He revealed his nature to them, that he was not just a good rabbi. He is the Son of God. Because in that moment on the mountain, their understanding of Jesus was shattered. And that's a good thing. Because the disciples had built a box in their minds of who Jesus is. And I don't know about you, but I know that I build this box in my mind all the time as well. We build this box in our minds of who we think Jesus is, and so often it is not big enough for who Jesus actually is. And so sometimes he has to come along and break the box, to shift the sides, to make it bigger for our understanding. Jesus invited the disciples into this place because he knew they were ready to experience him in a new, fresh way. But he also knew that in order for them to experience him like that, they needed to be shocked. They needed to be challenged. They needed that box that Jesus was in their minds to be broken. And I wonder, has God been inviting you to know him a little bit more, but you're a little bit scared by what it's going to mean? A little bit scared or worried that it's going to mean that your understanding of who he is going to break? That box that you've built, even though you know that Jesus is bigger than the box that you can put him in, but you've still put kind of boundaries around who Jesus is and who God is? And you kind of don't want to know Jesus more because you know that it's going to wrestle with it. Jesus is inviting us to know him, even when it shatters our understandings, even when it leaves us overwhelmed or scared or confused or unsure. Because that's okay. Because those moments force us to ask the questions. What are we meant to do with this? What does this mean? Because knowing Jesus deeper means moving beyond our current understandings. And sometimes Jesus challenges our understandings in beautiful and gentle ways. I think about the father who brought his child to Jesus going, "If you can, heal my child." And Jesus responds with, "If I can, all things are possible for those who believe." There was this beautiful, gentle way of which he encouraged that father to see him in a new way. A gentle, beautiful encouragement of that. The calling of Nathanael. Nathanael's like, "I'm not sure I want to go see this new rabbi." And then he goes along and Jesus goes, "Ah, Nathanael, truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. How do you know that? I saw you when you were sitting under the tree." And Nathanael's mind is blown. But it's this beautiful, gentle way that he's introduced to who Jesus is. I think about how I came to know Jesus in the first place. After growing up in church, there was just this still, small voice that whispered, "Putting your trust in Jesus isn't just for others. It's also for you." This beautiful, gentle invitation from Jesus to know him more. And so Jesus does it in beautiful and gentle ways, but sometimes he also needs to do it in overwhelming, powerful ways. The disciples here in this moment on top of the mountain, as they try and understand, what does this mean? What does this look like? For me, as I came back from Fiji to my home church and faced the same things that I'd been seeing in Fiji, and going, "What does this mean, God? What am I meant to do with this?" And so we ask these questions, we wrestle with them. And the way that the disciples respond after this event gives us some useful tools. Verses 9 to 15 say, "As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. And they asked him, 'Why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?' Jesus replied, 'To be sure, Elijah does come first and restores all things. Why then is it written that the Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected? But I tell you, Elijah has come, and they have done to him everything they wished, just as it is written about him.'" See, these disciples have had this powerful experience on the mountain. They are overwhelmed. They didn't know what to say. And then Jesus says, guys, I don't want you to tell other people about this yet. Wait until after I have risen from the dead, which just raises a whole bunch of other questions for them. But I think that it's beautiful what they do. In verse 10, they kept the matter to themselves, which Jesus asked them to, but they discussed it amongst themselves as they're heading down the mountain. They talked to each other. They didn't just keep it as their own personal worry or wrestle, but they actually shared it with others. And at this stage, they kept the circle small because Jesus asked them to. But there is something beautiful about when we have these experiences, actually choosing to discuss it with others, actually choosing to talk to others, not hiding these experiences away, waiting till we've got the right answer before we go and talk about it with others, but actually choosing to go to a mentor or a mature Christian friend and going, hey, I need to just share something with you and I have no idea what it means. Blah. And pouring it out. Or maybe taking it to your home group and going, I don't understand what is going on here. And in just inviting other people to speak into that, inviting other people to help make sense of it, inviting mature Christians to comment on it. They discuss it. And in verse 11, they ask Jesus questions. Now, they've been discussing what rising from the dead meant, and I notice that Jesus doesn't actually answer that question, but he does answer the question they have about Elijah. He says he's already come, and they understand that it was John the Baptist. They were wrestling with their faith, and so they asked Jesus, and Jesus responds. But at the same time, he doesn't tell them everything they're trying to understand. He doesn't explain what it means for him to rise from the dead, because we have to also understand that sometimes we have to sit in the discomfort of not knowing for a while. And we keep asking and we keep seeking. And I think there's something really beautiful about the way that this story ends. I was sharing what I was going to be speaking on in our elders' meeting this week, and I was told about Peter referring to this moment in one of his letters. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 to 18, it says, "For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain." I love the way that this kind of closes out Peter, James, and John's experience on the mountain. Because they had this powerful, overwhelming situation, this moment that left them with questions and left them with uncertainty and just left them confused and frightened and worried and scared, and they had to sit in that discomfort for a while. What does this mean? What is going on here? And yet, as overwhelming, as scary, as worrying as it was, this became a key part of Peter's testimony. This is one of those examples that he points to go, this is the one that we worship. Jesus, the Son of God. This is not just a great story. I was actually there. I saw it happen. I heard the voice from heaven. And when Peter is writing this letter, it's over 30 years since the event. But this moment has stuck with him. It's become a beautiful touchstone in his life, a beautiful touchstone in his faith, this moment of encouragement and wonder, drawing him closer and closer to Jesus. Because Jesus is inviting us to know him more. But we have to be prepared that sometimes that's going to be a little bit overwhelming and scary. And it's okay to sit in that discomfort. And I wonder, is there something that Jesus has been inviting you to just know him a little bit more in? Is there a way that Jesus is inviting you to step out in faith and to trust him, to know him a little bit more, even though it might be scary, even though it might be overwhelming, even though it might break your understanding of him? He's inviting us to know him more, to see him more, to know him deeper and more beautifully. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to just say thank you for this beautiful mountaintop experience. Lord, I thank you for this beautiful moment that Jesus shared with Peter, James, and John, and that has been shared with us as well. And Lord, I just thank you for what it reveals about who you are. That you are inviting us and wanting us to know you more. That you are inviting us deeper into relationship with you. And Lord, sometimes that is beautiful and gentle. But sometimes it's overwhelming. We can be left with questions of, what am I meant to do with this? What does this mean? But Lord, you invite us to wrestle through those questions with you, to know you, and to trust in you more. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would give us the courage to follow you when you invite us deeper. Lord, help us to trust even in those moments where there is a little bit of discomfort, a little bit of uncertainty, a little bit of what is going on here. For Lord, we know on the other side there is that beautiful, deeper, closer relationship with you. Lord, lead us to that today and tomorrow and all of our days. Lord, these things we pray in your name. Amen.